podcast where we discuss real life from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started. Happy Saturday!
We back. Okay, so if y'all were brave enough, and I emphasize the word brave, enough to tune in last Saturday, then you know we were having some audio challenges. And shout out to my girl, Latrinka, because she was commenting the whole way through. I was like, you really listened to the whole episode, Latrinka. God bless you. Like, thank you for powering through. So prayerfully, if you're listening live this week, the audio was much better. If it's not, put it in the chat. We'll work through some kinks if we need to. But welcome back. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday.
How you doing, Toya?
I'm okay. I am. Let's see. This week was a bit challenging with work, but God is gracing me. I'm figuring out this inner strength I have with all the extra things that have been piled onto my plate. And other people are telling me, like, I can't believe how well you're handling this. Like, I don't even understand how you're doing it. But it's been a lot.
Yeah, you inner strength is the key phrase, I should say, when it comes to you, Toya, because you really do have like that inner fortitude that allows you to power through so much. It amazes me. So praise God. Praise God that He is helping you through. Whew. So I am still in woosah mode, y'all. I'm just saying, I'm still like exhaling and just like trying to ease into life, if you will, back into life as much as possible. I just came back from vacation. So anytime I'm by the ocean, I'm in my happy place. And I could literally, as soon as I saw the blue water, could feel my cortisol levels lowering down. I was like, thank you, Lord. Like,
I need to get back.
Girl, get back. And you know what you can do? I don't know if you do this whenever you're by the ocean, but I record videos and pictures as much as I can, because the audio alone or just the imagery alone, like, helps me. I have it as my screensaver. I mean, literally wherever I can put it so that I see it consistently, even after the fact. Like, I recommend that highly, because it really helps. Even if you just need like a 10-second exhale in the middle of the work week, or, you know, whatever. So I'm coming back from that and just trying to hold on to my peace as much as possible. And then just, you know, like I said, ease back into life. Like, nah, I'm not rushing. I'm really trying to take my time and do what I have to do in order to just kind of stay in that zone as much as I possibly can. So
yes. Yeah.
So, but I'm doing well. So welcome to season 9, y'all. It's
season
official.
9.
Hard to believe. But yeah, we're here. So all right, shall we talk about what had happened was over a break? How was your summer?
Summer was fun. Mm-hmm. We went to Legoland.
Yay.
In Florida as a family. And it was really nice. However, when we first walked into the room, mm-hmm. we got a little nervous because we just saw one king size bed, the bathroom. It was like one of those, I think you call them a cabana.
Okay.
And then finally, we pulled back this curtain, mm-hmm. and then we saw like bunk beds, okay. and a bed that pulls out. Mm-hmm. You call it a trundle.
Yep.
And we were like, woo!
You were getting scared for a
minute. We were getting scared because we were like, no. What did we sign up for? Where are all these kids going to sleep? But it was really nice to get away with the family. Mm-hmm. We were able to visit the Peppa Pig attraction, aww. Legoland. Uh-huh. So all of my kids like really enjoyed it.
Amen.
Mason's fearless.
Yes.
Riding the rides.
Yes.
And I was like, I did not think you would enjoy this, but he was enjoying it.
Here's a question, okay? Between you and Ryan, who is the parent that like rides the rides with the kids versus like, okay, I'm gonna hold the bags?
I'm the ride rider.
Are you like, is it by choice? Like, you enjoy roller coasters, or you know what I mean? Because like,
When I was younger, uh-huh, I enjoyed roller coasters. Mm-hmm. But as I got older, mm-hmm, and then you start watching the news and you start finding out about all these accidents, yeah, on roller coasters and people not being strapped, yeah, in properly, that stuff started to make me nervous riding roller coasters. Because one time we were in Florida for a conference, mm-hmm, I think Orlando, and they have all these little, like, I guess you would call them like attractions, like where there's like little rides, okay, in downtown. I forget what it was called, but that one of the rides, it's this huge swing, uh-huh, that takes you super high in the air and you go around and around and around and around. And so, you know, I get on it with my coworkers, and then I feel the chains kind of shaking, and then me midway in the ride, I'm like, is there a weight limit for this? Like, I felt like,
how long ago was this, Toya?
Last year.
Oh my.
I was like, is there a weight limit? I was like, he didn't check our weight or anything. Maybe I wasn't supposed to be on the ride. And I was sitting with someone. I was like, the chain is shaking. And she was like, stop it. And we had midway in the air. Oh, and she was, Lord, like, stop. It's too late.
Girl, you better say your prayer and rededicate your life to Christ. Make sure you know the Lord, you know, all that stuff. Make sure your will in place, whatever you need to do. But
so, yikes. Roller coasters, I'm typically okay. Some of those other things, I'm a little, mm-hmm, like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then we looked it up. And then we did see at the place that we were at, there was a bad accident a few months ago. Not on that ride. They tore down the one the poor teenager, he wasn't strapped down all the way. Lord. And as he was coming down, he kind of flung out. It was on all over the news. And I was like, that's where this happened?
Oh, Lord.
So that kind of freaked me out. But they had tore it down. I think they put like something else there. But it was really sad. And I was like, listen, I said, I'm done riding these rides here.
We didn't know this was going to be a PSA, y'all, for what not to do. But my Lord, some of that stuff. And I mean, tragic accidents are tragic accidents. But in some cases, I'm like, okay, is this a user error? Like, were they like not fully strapped in? Mm-hmm. Were they doing something crazy? Were they hanging? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. So, but
he was too big for the ride. Yes. And the person that checks it didn't make him get off. And he was a teenager, you know, not thinking all the way through. Like, and he was telling his friend, like, tell my parents, like, if I don't make it, like, you know, stuff like that. So he kind of felt like he wasn't going to make it, which is scary. And I was like, that's sad. It's really sad.
Did he die?
He did.
Oh my Lord. This is a mess.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Okay. Well, y'all, I'm sorry.
We're bringing that
from Legoland to teen dogs on ride. But
Ryan is the one that stands on the side. He don't like riding rides.
I'm glad you brought it back, because I forgot what even took us there, girl. I forgot.
Ryan is the one that stood on the side with Ryla.
Is it because he doesn't like rides?
He does not.
Okay, because Chris is the same way. Chris does not like rides. Like, if we go to an amusement park, like, it need to be more than just the two of us, because otherwise I'm just going to be riding around by myself, like, what in the world? So, but I'm glad y'all had a good time.
Yes.
I am.
Wow. Layla and Mariah are the other little daredevils, so they like riding around.
Very good. That's what's up. Wow. Well, yeah, summer, it always goes too fast for me, but I really try to be super intentional about just taking it in as much as I possibly can, you know, if it's just slowing down the pace of life, if it's, you know, just taking time to be refreshed and renewed, connecting with people, reaching out to people I haven't talked to, things of that nature. Like, I really, really try to be intentional about during the summer months. So it was good. But yes, it always goes too fast for me. I did go, and I think you have been here before, but I went to Sweetwater Creek over the summer, and I really enjoyed it. Like, I like the hiking feel, and the creek itself was really nice. So it was cool to just kind of spend some time out there. And it's so big. Like, I didn't realize how vast. I had driven through it before, but my first time actually like walking through it and like, you know, really spending some time there. So I enjoyed that. And then of course the the film person in me was like, oh, they shot stuff here. They shot this here. They shot that here. So
Hunger Games, I think they shot there.
A lot of, because, you know, Atlanta is like, they call it becoming like the Hollywood of the South. And so a lot of scenes were shot there in since it's like a heavily wooded area. So really, really cool. But yeah, yes, a good summer.
Sweetwater Creek.
Yes, girl, I got to get back. So yeah, so that was summer in a nutshell. But let's get into what had happened was.
Okay,
so we hosted a live event.
If
you follow us on social media, you know, you may or may not know that we had the opportunity to partner with City Takers and Track Stars, of course, and host a women's conference, which was super dope. Like, for us to be asked to host, that was huge. I mean, the first time we had hosted something live, and to just experience such amazing speakers and performers, like, it was an amazing event. So I was just honored to be a part of it, honestly. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great experience. Mm-hmm. Of course, I was a little nervous. I know that was up your lane, and you're used to getting on stage in front of people, singing, performing spoken word. I was nervous.
I could not tell. You did very, very well. You really did. You did. Were you nervous the entire time, or like just kind of the beginning?
The entire time.
I cannot tell y'all. Toya, this is that inner strength we're talking about, where Toya just be like, I'm just gonna power through, and you may not even know she's struggling. But like, you did very well. Like, it was pretty, like, you were pretty even keeled, even tempered the entire time. So I was
proud. Praying.
Oh, amen. We all were. So, yeah. So all that to say, you'll actually get a chance to see some clips from that event. Actually, we have our 100th episode is coming up this season, believe it or not. I'm like, hard to believe we're in season 9, but yes, we're about to celebrate 100 episodes. And so in honor of that, we will be showing some clips from that event. So you kind of have an idea of what the speakers were like. You can kind of see us in action a little bit. And so, yeah, really, really excited about that. So, yes, we hosted Faith and Flow Women's Conference 2024. And then also, I released another devotional. I had the opportunity to release another devotional through YouVersion. And actually, this devotional had been in the making for like over 15 years, which is basically how long it's been since I lost my mom. And so I knew at that time that I was supposed to capture my thoughts and really, you know, put together resources to help people through the grief journey. But it requires you to do the work first. Like, it really requires you to, like, really, like, embrace the grieving process, which for anybody that's lost a loved one, you know, the ups and downs associated with that. Like, sometimes you just want to, you know, completely deny the fact that any of it has happened because it's too painful. In other cases, you're just so emotionally drained and overwhelmed that you really can't even articulate it, you know. And most people know, and I mentioned this in the devotional, that the grieving process is cyclical. It's not linear. Like, I wish there was a start and an ending to it, because I'm an ultimate planner. I love, like, just mapping stuff out, you know. And I used to get so frustrated with myself because, like, I would break down at what I would call inopportune moments. Mm. And God is like, you cannot control this process. Like, I know you're used to being in control. I know you're used to navigating everything the way that you want to, but, like, I'm in control of this. And so, and everything else, of course. But, like, I've had to lean into that process and give myself the space and the grace to process it in God's way and in God's timing, not my own. And so a lot of that is captured in this devotional, and just really some practical tips and exercises on how to navigate the 5 stages of grief as well. So really excited about that. If you are someone that has lost a loved one, or you know someone that has, definitely share this with them. Again, it's available on YouVersion today, right now, along with my Perfect Peace devotional. So super excited about that I was able to push that out. Because like I said, it's been a process. It really has. So, yeah.
And I'm super proud of you for doing that.
Thank you.
It takes a lot to be vulnerable, mm-hmm. and then put it out there for the world mm-hmm. to see. So congratulations. Oh, and I'm proud of you.
Thank you so much. We got anything else for what had happened was before we dive into what's trending? Okay, what's trending? So congratulations are in order. You may or may not know, there were two amazing marriages that or unions, I should say, that were brought together this summer that we definitely want to highlight and congratulate. First one is super near and dear to our hearts. Congrats to the Hopewells, aka Portia Love and Donatello. Yes. They got married earlier this month, and we have actually had Portia on the show after they had gotten engaged, and she was just talking about their process because their whole courtship was like under the radar. She was like, I'm not telling nobody until it's official, until I have a ring. So once it came out, we were like, what? Everybody was like, first of all, Portia Love engaged. Second of all, who is she engaged to? We didn't even know she was dating. So it was amazing to hear her story on that. If you missed that episode, definitely check it out. I think that was season 8, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. One of the earlier episodes of season 8. So check that out where you can hear their love story. And she did promise us, because we got it on tape, that they're going to come back together. So we're giving them time, you know, honeymoon and all that good stuff. But we'll definitely plan to have the both of them back. So definitely want to shout out congratulations to the Hopewells, aka Portia Love and Donatello.
Congratulations.
Yes, best wishes. And then also, I've kind of been following this couple from afar. They are some youngsters, some youngins, but so precious and so sweet to me. The Franklins, I believe it's Kaziah or Kazia and Elena Franklin. And so Kaziah or Kazia, I'm sorry if I'm messing up your name, is actually Kirk Franklin's son, Kirk Franklin and Tammy Franklin's son. And then Elena Pitts, I believe that's her maiden name, is the young lady that was in War Room. Mm-hmm. And so she played Priscilla Shire's daughter in War Room. In real life, her mother, Winter, is an author, or was a children's book author. And she actually passed away, gosh, I want to say about maybe 5 years ago. And that's mm-hmm. really kind of when their whole family was up on my radar, because I was just praying for the whole situation, because for her mother to pass away suddenly and at a young age and left behind, it's either 3 or 4 daughters.
I think
that they have
3.
Okay. And so, but Elena's the oldest. And so I've kind of been following and supporting them ever since that whole situation. But all that to say, the two of them were dating, Elena and Kaziah or Kazia were dating. They've been dating, gosh, for some years now. And so they actually got married over the summer. And it was beautiful just to kind of see their union, them coming together. And just two iconic families too, as well. You know, because Elena's affiliated with the Evans family as well. Priscilla Shire, Tony Evans, Anthony Evans, Crystal Evans Hurst, and then of course the Franklins. So it was awesome to just kind of get glimpses of their union. And so we're super excited for them and just praying God's best over them. So yeah. So all this wedding talk, Toya, I was like, I think we need a new segment. I think we need a new segment, and we're going to call it Wife Lessons. Okay. We're going to call it Wife Lessons because we've been in the game for a minute now. I mean, we by no means are we experts. I feel like marriage, just like I was talking about, grief is like ever evolving. I feel like marriage is ever evolving. As long as you and your spouse are evolving, your marriage will be evolving. And so all that to say, though, we were like, this may be a good time to, or good opportunity to kind of share some words of wisdom of things that we've learned along the way. And so we'll do this from time to time, you know, as things come up or current events come up. But I thought, okay, maybe we could do Wife Lessons, the newlywed edition, you know, like what words of wisdom would we give new wives? Okay. So I'm going to turn it over to you. Yeah. I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay. Let's take it all the way back.
Oh, okay. Take it back.
Let's take it back to before we got married. Well, I'll say before I got married. And, you know, I was so, when's it going to be my turn? I want to get married. I'm tired of being single. Like, I want a family. I want kids. And I'm so bored in my nice, clean house. And, you know, I get to go where I want.
When you want.
When you want.
Yep.
All the things. And I felt like I was a little impatient. Mm-hmm. And just like, when's it going to be my turn? Like, I'm tired of waiting, mm-hmm. God. I'm mm-hmm. tired of being good. All the things.
I'm tired of being good.
I told God that. Probably about a week before I met Ryan. I guess he said, let me go ahead.
Yeah, he's like, here, girl, here.
Let me go ahead. This is what you can't wait for.
Hey, girl.
So, you know, it is beautiful once you get married. I'm not going to,
absolutely,
you know, I'm not going to deny that. Like, it is beautiful. And sometimes you have this imagination of what life is. You think of the sunshine and rainbows, and I'm just trying to go back to the way that I was feeling when, yeah, like the engagement and like just mm-hmm. happiness and love and joy. And not that it's not like, yeah, that when you get married, but there are different seasons.
Absolutely.
There are storms.
Absolutely.
Like hailstorms and hurricanes, yeah, and lightning and thunder, yeah, and snow.
Earthquakes.
Everything, yeah, happens when you get married. So I will say it's wonderful,
yeah,
you know, to get married, but to make sure you are really rooted in your relationship with, amen, God. And it's both of you, you, amen, and your spouse.
Amen.
You're on the same page.
Yes.
And you're both working towards building that intimate relationship with God, because storms are going to come.
Facts.
And you cannot predict what your storm is going to look like or what kind, yeah, of cross you're going to have to bear.
Facts.
In the future. Your cross may be a health challenge. It may be a fertility challenge. It could be financial challenges. So many different challenges that you don't see,
yeah,
in the beginning, but God knows and God,
absolutely,
sees. So it's so important that you have discernment and not be in a hurry to just get married,
yeah,
because everybody else is getting married,
yeah,
and you got to really make sure and really know that that person is supposed to be your spouse,
yeah,
because life is going to happen and you're going to have to be ready,
mm-hmm,
as one.
Absolutely.
The two becomes one, and you both have to be prepared to fight spiritually,
yeah,
because you're stronger together spiritually. And there's a lot of battles out there. It's a lot of spiritual battles, and you have to be prepared to,
absolutely,
fight over your children, your, mm-hmm, finances, your marriage, everything.
Yeah.
You have to be prepared to fight. So yes, the honeymoon phase is great. There are like sunshine and, you know, rainbows, but there's also storms, mm-hmm, and you have to be ready for those storms. So,
amen,
that's my wife lesson for the newlywed edition.
I feel like don't be scared, y'all, but just be ready. Just be prayed up, you know, the reality of it is, you know, we look at marriage through the lens of culture, and it's like, you know, relationship goals and power couples and this and that, you know, do you look good in photos? Do you have the picture perfect family? But the reality of it is God designed marriage, and because God designed marriage, the devil hates marriage. And so he's going to throw any and everything at you that he possibly can to try to divide you, because the original intent for marriage was for God to have a representation here on the earth of what it looks like for Christ to love the church. That's just the truth of it. Okay. And so anything that he can throw at a marriage to break that up, to distort that image, to eradicate that image, the enemy will do. And so, to Toya's point, you got to be prayed up, but in order to be prayed up, you got to be equally yoked. And so it's more than just, oh, he fine, or oh, he got six figures, or oh, he drive this, and oh, he does that. Like, is he a man of God? Because when those storms come, and it's not a matter of if, but when those storms come,
is he able to like cover your family in prayer? Is he able to take his rightful place as the priest over your home and your family? Because you're going to need that. And y'all are going to need to be a united front in that regard, like for real, for real. So I'll say that. And then I'll also say too, the beauty in being married to another believer is the power of the Holy Spirit. Because here's the reality of it. There are going to be times when you're not going to see eye to eye, when you're not going to agree on certain things, or you may have arguments or just disagreements. And the reality of it is the Holy Spirit can break through in those moments, not just with your spouse, but with you as well, in ways that your spouse can't. And so I always tell people where you feel like you can't necessarily go there in conversation, pray there in conversation. And as you're praying there, don't just be like, God, fix him. God, fix her. No, God, like what do I need to do? You know, if there's something I need to change on my end, if it is something that needs to be changed on my spouse, then only God can really do that. So that really is the beauty of the Holy Spirit, because when you have two believers that are equally yoked and that are both fighting for their marriage, they're open and they're yielded to the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit can speak and transform in ways that we can't necessarily with our words or, you know, with our actions. And so another beautiful reason about being equally yoked. So the only other wife lesson I'll say, and these were practical ones. One of them I actually got from you, Toya, when I was engaged. And I think y'all took me out. We did like manis and petties or something. And she said, whatever you start, you fill in the blank. Whatever you start as a newlywed, make sure you're willing to continue it throughout your marriage. Like, I know we like to just like pull out all the stops and do any and everything when we first get married, but you're setting a precedent. And so just be mindful, you know, and that could be, like I said, fill in the blank. That could be in whatever area or aspect that comes to mind. Whatever you start, be prepared and plan to maintain it for your marriage. Okay.
This is true.
That was a good one. That was a really good one. And then the only other one that I will share is, and this actually was a piece of wisdom that was given to me as well, was there's more than one way to fold the laundry. And I know that sounds like weird or crazy or whatever, but I think, especially like you were talking about, when you're single, you have a way of doing things and you get set in doing those things, especially the longer you're single. And so realizing when two become one, like these are two bodies, okay? Like two individual people with histories and backgrounds and experiences that they're bringing to this marriage. And so, you know, your spouse is going to do things differently than you did. And so you have to be okay with that, you know, and be willing to collaborate, compromise in those areas where needed, and realize, you know, don't major in the minors, you know, don't major in the minors. If it's not a big deal, don't make it a big deal, because you got enough big deals to be dealing with. Okay. So
let me tell you,
yeah,
that you just made me remember. We fought over where to put the ketchup when we first got married. Because I grew up putting the ketchup in the refrigerator.
Yep, me too.
And he grew up putting it in the cabinet.
In the pantry, yep.
In the pantry. Yep. And I was like, but babe, it says
refrigerate after
opening. Why are you not putting it in the refrigerator? And so we fought about like stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so easy solution. You just buy two. I keep one in the refrigerator and you keep yours in the pantry. Like, don't fight over the little stuff when you can figure out like easy solutions.
Yeah.
The toothpaste.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like to put the lid on the toothpaste.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That drives me crazy. Cause then you can get little hairs on it and stuff.
Yep.
You can have your own.
Exactly.
And I'll have my own.
Exactly.
So like figure out how to make it work, because there are little things that are going to happen. You're going to be like, but why?
Exactly. And at the end of the day, is it really, in the grand scheme of things, is it really that big a deal? Yes, it may irritate you. Yes, it may get on your nerves. And yes, you may not understand it, but is it really?
is it that big a deal? Like, is it two bodies, one flesh?
Yes. Two you got to deny your, to yourself for real, for real.
Yeah. So that would be this edition of Wife Lessons. But we'll be back. We'll have more throughout the season and the seasons to come. But yes, more to come. So next, I want to talk briefly. We had the Olympics that just passed. And I know in some cases, you know, everybody didn't talk through it, had they last, but we just had to give a weigh in real quickly on it. So first of all, we had the opening ceremonies. That was pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. Basically, it was, and I didn't see it, so you may have to explain it, Toya.
Yeah. Well, we, as a family, mm-hmm. we met over my mother-in-law's house mm-hmm. to watch the opening ceremony, mm-hmm. you know, thinking it was going to be, this is a family-friendly activity. And so we did, like, these little activities to kind of teach them about the Olympics, mm-hmm. What is it? Mm-hmm. And we even talked about, like, when it was in Atlanta, they did little arts and crafts.
Okay,
and
cool.
We did. We talked about Simone Biles because my girls are in gymnastics.
Yes.
And so we went back and watched some, like, clips and stuff. But then it was time for the opening ceremony, mm-hmm. and some of the parts I don't think were family friendly.
Yeah.
It wasn't, because my kids were asking questions about some of the scenes that we were seeing on the TV.
Yeah.
With, like, a couple men in the bedroom and closing the door. And then one of the kids said, well, what are they doing in there?
Oh,
and,
like,
I remember how we kind of, like, you know,
yeah.
changed the subject or something. And then there was another scene. I think we had stopped watching it, but then I saw clips later
okay.
about the scene that mimicked
The Last Supper, with the drag queens.
Yeah, the yeah. Last Supper with the drag queens.
Yeah.
But I think we had stopped because they our kids started asking questions yeah. and trying to understand things, and then we kind of got them yeah. distracted because we were like. You know, as yeah. adults, we were like, what in the world?
Exactly.
Like, I thought this was going to be family friendly.
Yeah.
That we could all watch this.
What does this have to do with the Olympics?
Right.
Like, what?
Now, it was a lot.
I did hear after the fact the creative director spoke out and said he was not mimicking the Last Supper, but something like the Olympian feast or the Olympus feast or whatever to connect it back to the Olympics. But I'm like, why? And why drag queens? Like, I don't understand. Like, Paris is, I love the city of Paris. Like, it's one of my favorite places. And there are so many other things to celebrate there. Like, so many. Like, I mean, the food, the culture, the arts. Like, there's so many. And for them to take that approach during what should be deemed a family event was just kind of confusing to me. So I don't know. But then you did mention Simone Biles. I was so tuned in to gymnastics. I think I watched all the gymnastic events just because I was like so excited to see Simone Biles back. And I thought she did such an amazing job of modeling out mental health and mental health awareness and just the way she navigated this year's Olympics after taking time off during the last Olympics. Y'all may or may not remember for the Tokyo Olympics, she gracefully bowed out because she was not feeling like she was in a great mental state. And I think she said she was experiencing what they call like the twisties, which is like where you may be going through a routine, but you're mentally disconnected from your body physically, which can be very dangerous, if you will. And so she bowed out and didn't compete and came back this year stronger, just more focused and healthy, like really healthy. I think she was intentional too about not doing any interviews or anything until she was like done competing. And when she was being interviewed, you know, they were asking her like, you know, how was your approach this year different? And, you know, she was like, well, first of all, I was meeting with my counselor, my therapist while I was at the Olympics. I was like, okay, started, like she was not messing up with that routine at all. But then also she was like, I was just focused on having a good time and doing what I love. And if I won some medals, I won some medals, which she did, like winning gold overall, winning gold for the vault. The American gymnastics team won gold. So, I mean, like she killed it. But just her perspective in the process of it, I was amazed at, because I'm like looking at these people, these athletes compete, like literally most of them have been competing for the majority of their lives, have been preparing and working towards this the majority of their lives. And they literally just have like a few seconds to just like perform. And it's like, you know, you spend all this time and all this effort preparing for something that only happens once every 4 years that you may or may not get to compete in more than once. And so it's a high pressure event. It's a high pressure thing, but her approach, I just thought was super impressive. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed watching her.
Yes. So congratulations, Simone.
Yes. Congratulations. And congratulations to the American gymnastics team. Like Team America killed it, period. Like men's basketball, women's basketball, track and field. I mean, like, it was amazing. I do want to go back, though. There was one thing I wanted to touch on for the gymnastics. There was controversy around the bronze medal with our girl Jordan Childs. And it was dope to see her. She was like super high energy. And I could tell she was like the hype girl of the team. But basically, she competed in the floor exercise individuals. And the original score that they gave her, their coaches went back to the judges and challenged it. And so after the judges went back and reviewed it, they basically said, oh, she's won the bronze medal. And so she won the bronze medal. It was her first individual medal. And I think it was like a week later, they came back and said, oh, we were wrong. We need to take your medal back and give it, you know, to the person that was originally had originally gotten the bronze medal. So I was kind of like, that whole situation was a little messy to me. Like, and
it was.
It was very messy. Like, I feel like if there was any hesitancy in, you know, whether or not she should have gotten the bronze medal to begin with, that they shouldn't have made the call right then. But for them to make the call, go through all the pomp and circumstance, she's getting the medal. They've got the picture of her, you know, bronze, silver, and gold, you know, which actually happened to be three Black women. That was amazing. And then come back and be like, oh, never mind. Like, that was a bit messy for me.
Yeah.
I was like, we need to do better. So. Mm-hmm. Yes. So last but certainly not least, you know, we got to talk about our breakdancers. we got to talk about the Australian breakdancers.
Yes. That mess was hilarious. Oh, all the memes and the social media, they were lighting her up.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. I was like, how did she make it to the Olympics without, you know,
that's my question, because I'm like, okay,
how did she make it to the platform?
Yeah, there are qualifiers, you know, like somebody else has to sign off on this, I'm sure, before you get to the world stage competing. And was a hot mess, was doing the bunny hopping, twirling around on the floor. I was like, it was a mess, to the point where, and I don't know, are they officially getting rid of the breakdance category?
I think they're officially, I think she ruined it for the world.
That's a mess. I'm
like, you ruined it for everybody.
Yeah, because I'm like, there were legit breakdancers like competing. So I'm like, if anything, ban Australia. They need to do better. Clearly they missed the mark. But don't get rid of the whole category. Yeah. Like, it's a legit category that people do have to train and prepare for and be skilled in. So I'm like, it was just a lot. So, and she still, look, she just spoke out afterwards, still talking about, you know, y'all just didn't see that my approach was this and that original. And I was like, it was a hot mess.
I would, no, just stop talking.
Exactly. Just fade to black. Just bring it on down. So yeah, that was our take on the Olympics, the 2024 Summer Olympics in Paris. I hope y'all enjoyed it. If you did watch it, if you didn't, we just kind of gave you the highs and lows of it. So yeah, the last thing I want to talk about in what's trending, our boy Kirk Franklin. We were just talking about his son getting married, but our boy Kirk Franklin has been doing a lot of interviews as of late. And one clip from an interview that he recently did with Cam Newton was going viral and really causing people to really weigh in. And so we wanted to weigh in as well. So basically, he was talking about how the church has weaponized marriage, meaning In a lot of churches, Christian women, Christian single women feel pressured to get married, meaning they're constantly being asked, when are you going to get married? When are you going to have children? Even to an extent where he was saying in certain churches, they don't even allow you to serve in certain capacities unless you're married. And so I wanted to kind of get your take on this. In some cases, I understand where he's coming from, but in other cases, I was like, we may need to talk about this. So do you feel like the church has weaponized marriage when it comes to Christian single women?
I'm not sure if I would say they weaponized it. I definitely think they strongly encourage it. Mm-hmm. Now, is it right to mm-hmm. do that, to make someone feel bad mm-hmm. that they're single? No. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, it may not be God's will yeah. for everyone to get married yeah. or for that particular woman or man yeah. to be married. So I definitely don't think it should hinder them from positions in the church. But I will say, from my experience, what I've seen, I guess we'll call it up the hierarchy of the church mm-hmm. leaders, all of them are pretty much married. I cannot think of someone that is not married. Like, if I'm thinking
thinking about like your local church, you're mm-hmm. thinking about?
I don't think I know of anyone in like a top leadership role that mm-hmm. is not married. So it is interesting, but I don't think they just don't go out and say, you can't have this position because mm-hmm. you're not married. Mm-hmm. Because you're not married, we think you might yeah. fall or
yeah.
struggle with lust or porn. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if they're making assumptions mm-hmm. of people's walk. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one, because the reality of it is this, and I tell this to single people I tell this to single people also, like, marriage is not the solution to lust. Like, you got to get that under control as a single person. Mm-hmm. And so
this is true.
It's not, you know, same with porn, same with, you know, like fornication or whatever. Like, you got to get that under control as a single, because it just grows once you get married, honestly. But yeah, I don't think marriage is the solution in that regard. I will say, though, there are times where I've seen, we know in the local church, and if I'm honest, I'm going to say especially the Black local church, the platform is attractive. So when you see people on the platform, it's like people are drawn to them, you know. And oftentimes, you know, they're just drawn to their gifts. But at the same time, you know, like the bullseye on their back just grows bigger and bigger. And so I do pray for singles that are in high profile platform positions in the church, because I do believe the temptations become greater, and I do believe that the enemy can throw things at singles that may be easier for them to succumb to than someone that's married. Again, like I said, lust is lust, but I do believe the temptation can be greater for singles in high profile positions. Would I deny somebody a role in the church because of that? No, but I would have honest conversation with them about how they can safeguard themselves and just be more mindful in those situations. And I do pray more fervently for singles that are in high profile positions in the church, because I just know that the enemy will use that as a temptation, like for real. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I will say that. But then, as far as like, you know, the whole, when you're going to get married, when you're going to have children or whatever, like, and I was really just reading this, my husband and I were reading this earlier, like a week or so ago, in 1 Corinthians, about how Paul was like, honestly, I want you to stay single. You know, he's like, because being married, you got to worry about your spouse and the pleasing the Lord, you know, but if you're single, you really are just able to focus on pleasing the Lord. And so I feel like Paul himself, like, modeled out, and actually Jesus himself modeled out
yeah.
how to successfully be a single and to fulfill your purpose here on the earth. So it's definitely not a deal breaker. You know, if anything, it can be a distraction or just another challenge for you to work through and navigate through as you're fulfilling your purpose. You know, now if God calls you to be married, he calls you to be married, but if he calls you to be single, like, it's honestly better. And so not being afraid of that and not being afraid of what other people may say, because the reality of it is, if you serve the Lord, then that's who you live for. That's who you strive to please. And everybody else is, you know, they're just kind of there along for the ride. And so I would encourage singles, if you are experiencing any type of pressure in that regard, to continue to focus on the Lord, to continue to pursue your purpose and your calling. And here's the thing. If you're called to be married, if you're meant to be married, that is how you will find your spouse, your God-given spouse, by pursuing your purpose and your calling. Because literally, y'all should be running alongside each other. It's not, oh, let me go over here, let me go over there, let me do this, let me do that. No, pursue the things of God, and it will be like a divine interruption, if you will, where you just kind of look up and you're like, oh, we've been running alongside each other, you know, let's pursue this thing together. And so just I would really just encourage you to focus on the Lord and not really focus on what other people are saying. And I get it. Time is going past and, you know, biological clocks are ticking and people around you may be doing this, that, or the other, or getting married and having children. But God can redeem the time. Like, literally, whatever time you feel like has been lost or wasted or is going past, like, God can redeem all of that. And so don't get caught up in trying to make things happen, because the reality of it is, if you try to make marriage happen, if you try to make kids happen or family happen, then it becomes it really becomes like a mess, honestly, that you can't even clean up, that God has to clean up. And of course, God can redeem anything, like I was saying. It just becomes more of a challenge. It's already a challenge when you do it the right way, but when you try to do it in your own strength or you try to do it the wrong way, it's 10 times as bad. So just focus on God, for real.
And thinking back to my first book, The One Who Restores, you can check that book out on Amazon. But in that book, I talk about how before I met my husband, I was dating this person for 4 years. And after everything happened and the relationship ended, you know, I was just like, God, I don't know if I can do this. Like, get to know someone, get to know their family, date them for X amount of years. And then we were waiting for marriage, to have sex. So I think God showed me that it doesn't take all that much time if it's the right person.
Amen.
And so when I met Ryan, I definitely felt like the time was restored and the time was redeemed, because everything happened so quickly.
Yeah.
Like, we met, he asked me to be his girlfriend after a week. We dated. He proposed 4 months later, and then we were married 6 months later. So all of it happened within a time span of a year. And we really had to trust God, lean in on our mentorships and our godly counsel to really have a surety that this was a divine connection and we were each other's spouses.
Amen.
So we definitely had godly counsel in that, and wisdom and discernment, before we just was like, yes, like, mm-hmm. We absolutely knew without a shadow of a doubt. So all that to say, you know, if you're struggling with, like, waiting, or you're like figuring out, well, I'm getting older, and God can make it a quick work.
Amen.
So just trust. Amen. God.
That's so good. So good, Toya. All right. So that concludes What's Trending. And let's move on into top picks. So anything you've been reading, watching, exploring, doing that you want to share with the BE community?
I brought my devotional today that I've been reading, Grace in Chaos. Biblical Hope for the Hard Days. of motherhood. So it's a study on motherhood. And I believe this is on Amazon if you want to check it out. But it's a really good devotional. There's places where you can take notes and study the attributes of God and really make it applicable to your daily life, because motherhood is crazy. I've got four kids. I've got a full-time job. I was in school, just finished and got my diploma. So it can be a very chaotic, and you always strive to be there for everyone, but you have to make time for God and make time for you, self-care. So this is a really good devotional, Grace in Chaos, because motherhood can be very chaotic.
Amen.
So yes, good check stuff. That out.
Very good. Anything else you want to recommend?
No, that's pretty much it.
That's more than enough. That's an excellent resource, y'all. Like, for real. That sounds like a good one. I would say definitely, again, plug a Good Grief Devotional and Perfect Peace Devotionals on YouVersion if you want to check those out. But honestly, I would say really, as of late, like, I really want to plug the Word of God. Like, I really want to, like, put that out there as a top pick, because I will say, for me personally, I do read a lot of devotionals, and that was kind of like how I was primarily spending my quiet time. And of course, there are like scriptural references in it, throughout it, or at the end that I would go back to and then dive into the Word of God that way. But probably about, I would say maybe like 3 to 6 months ago, God was like, I really want you to like dive into the Word more and really, really meditate on it, really reflect on it. And so I actually, someone recommended, there's a video, and you could check it out. It's on YouTube. Priscilla Shire did a short 20-30 minute video on how to study the Word of God, how to study the Bible. And she gives you like 5 P's, basically, where you're highlighting the major principles, you're looking at the spiritual principles, you're posing a question, and then you're planning your obedience, like really looking at like how God wants you to apply this word. And I would say for me, it took a minute, quite honestly, for me to really start implementing those in my Bible study time. Because when you ask, just the pose the question part, it's like you opening yourself up for correction. And I was like, I don't want to, God, I don't want you to show me myself right now. I'm not ready. Like, I just want to be on the warm and fuzzy side of things, you know, where I'm just reading scriptures that I feel like apply to me and whatever I'm dealing with. But God is like, no, the word is a two-edged sword. Yeah. It is a two-edged sword, and it will slice and dice you, and it will slice and dice those around you. Like, it is meant to rebuke and correct, just like it is meant to comfort and encourage, and you can't have one without the other. And so really, really allowing God to speak to me through his word. And so not just like reading a passage, but like meditating on it. Sometimes I may read it in a couple different versions if I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. I want to make sure that I'm fully understanding it. I want to make sure that I'm fully able to grasp whatever principles God is trying to teach me or show me. And so really, really spending time in the Word. And honestly, at the women's conference that we just hosted, like, it's amazing how like that has been the word I feel like God has been giving his people, where he's like, get back into the word, get back into the word. It's the only thing that we have that we can cling to in this day and age, especially. There's so much going on around us. We have elections coming up. We've got all kinds of schools of thought and philosophies that are being, you know, pumped out towards us on social media and, you know, a workplace and on television, all that. And God is like, I need you to get back in the word. And so I'm just going to challenge you and say, get back in the word. That's my top pick. Like, really get in the word of God. I mean, to the point where I'm like, okay, let me go back to the hard copy. You know, let me, you know, yeah, it's convenient to use my phone, but I need to get in there and underline and write and journal. And, you know, so like whatever it takes for you personally, I would encourage you to like really get back into the word of God and to study it, to meditate on it, to memorize it. Like, it needs to be what takes precedent for us over and above any and everything else, including our devotionals, like really the word of God. So that's my top pick, and that's all. Anything else you have?
No, that was so good. Yes.
All right, y'all. So we hope you enjoy catching up with Toya and Maya for our season 9 premiere. We've got some excellent, y'all, excellent, excellent, excellent guests lined up for this season. And so we're super excited.
Yes.
And of course, we mentioned we're going to be celebrating episode 100. So we're super excited, y'all, and just can't wait to get through these next episodes with you. So next week we'll have Becoming with our girl Carmen Vaughn, excellent, amazing new author. So excited to share more with you about her, and just more to come.
Yes, and we want to hear from you. So if you have any suggestions on topics or guests, make sure you comment, or you can DM us.
Yes.
Send us a message and let us know. You can also email us at becomingeventoday@gmail.com as well. Don't forget to get your merch on our website at becomingeventoday. We have mugs, we have water bottles, we have shirts.
Yes, we're both repping our Dropping Gym shirt. Yep. Check that out.
Dropping Gym.
becomingeventoday.com. Go get you some stuff.
Yes. And totes. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you're watching this on Facebook, go ahead and click on the YouTube and subscribe to our channel. Like us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And we'll see you guys next time.
Bye, y'all. Bye.
Bye.